Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 Radio. Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 Radio broadcast.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdinas siratal mustaqim. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
الحمد لله على كل حال. الحمد لله على كل حال.
American Muslim 360 would like to invite you to the first Shura Beta Hum conference taking place in Fayetteville, North Carolina, August 16th through the 18th. The process will be guided by 9 questions. What do we really, really want as a community? How do we define and view our present-day community situation? We will avoid negative comments and questions. What are our goals, objectives, and tasks 5 years into the future? How many ways or strategies can we use to achieve success? What are some realistic time frames? What should we look like 5 years from now? How committed are we? And then take it slow. Remember, Community Shura Beta Hum, August 16th to the 18th, Fayetteville, North Carolina. Visit AmericanMuslim360.com to register for this event. You will find hotel arrangements there. I want to thank you, and we definitely look forward to see your face in the place.
You can't touch this. Touch this.
American Muslim 360 is
too legit.
We will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360. I'm Thomas Abdul Salam, the twin servant of peace. We want to welcome you on behalf of CEO Dr. Aisha Kareem to this morning, Lama Ramadan Mubarak. This is inshallah day 13, and we hope and pray that you have been keeping up with your reading, your fast is going well, and that inshallah you will find many, many blessings to come out of the Ramadan fast. Inshallah, we also hope you did make it to Mobile, Alabama over the weekend and attend the Ramadan session there. I do believe the Ramadan session in Chicago, Mosque Cares, is coming up. I think it's August 2nd and the 4th or thereabouts. So inshallah, if you're in the Chicago area, you can make it to the Chicago area. You can also attend that Ramadan. There's so many Ramadan sessions going on around the country, and we just hope they're taking advantage of all of the opportunities that they are. I do believe there was one in Atlanta. Team Shaway was there yesterday. It was on being broadcast on Masjid Al-Islam website yesterday. And inshallah, I did catch some of it. I would not catch all of it, but I did catch some of that. I hope that you might have also participated in that as well. This morning, we have Thomas Abdul Salam, followed by Pearls of Women with Sister Niamat Shahid, and then Dr. Abdel Jack Nuruddin will not be with us this morning, and I won't come back in the third hour. So what I'm going to do this morning, I don't have the Quran, Arabic, and English the Quran recitation and the English translation on the switchboard. Day 13. So what I thought we'd do is just read the English together, and then in the last time we'll come back, and then we can do the reinventing or elevating yourself during the month of Ramadan talk in the last hour. And so inshallah, if you are near your Quran and inshallah wish to follow along in the reading, we'll begin in Surah 12, starting at Ayat 53, and we'll begin the reading this morning. And inshallah, like you said, the month of Ramadan, I want to make sure we give way to Quran as much as possible. And I know different hosts are doing different things, but inshallah, we want to give some reading this morning, and then excuse me, throat a little dry here, drinking a little bit. But anyway, but then after that, in the last hour, then we will have our discussion on reinventing oneself, inshallah. So, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Yet do not absolve myself of blame. The human soul certainly incites evil, unless my Lord do bestow his mercy. But surely my Lord is all forgiving, most merciful. So the king said, bring him unto me. I will take him specially to serve about my own presence. Therefore, when he had spoken to him, he said, be sure this day you are of the highest standing with us and vested with all trust. Joseph said, set me over the storehouses of the land. I am a good keeper, knowledgeable. Thus did we give established power to Joseph in the land, to take possession therein as when and when he pleased. We bestowed our mercy on him. We please. We suffer not to loss the reward of those who do good. But verily the reward of the hereafter is the best for those who believe in us and righteousness. Then came Joseph's brothers. They entered his presence. They earned his presence, and he knew them, but they knew him not. And when he had furnished them forth with provisions suitable for them, he said, bring unto me a brother you have, of the same father as yourself, but a different mother. See you not that I pay out for a measure, and that I do provide the best hospitality? Now, if you bring him not to me, you shall have no measure of corn from me, nor shall you even come near me. They said, we shall try to win him from his father. Indeed, we shall do it. And Joseph told his servants to put their stock and trade with which they had bartered into their saddlebags, so they should know it only when they returned to their people, in order that they come back. Now, when they returned to their father, they said, O our father, no more measure of grain shall we get unless we take our brother. So send our brother with us, that we may get a measure, and we will indeed take care of him. He said, shall I trust you with him with any result other than when I trusted you with his brother aforetime? But Allah is the best to take care of him. He is the most merciful of those who show mercy. Then, when they opened their bags, they found their stock and trade had been returned to them. They said, O our father, what more we desire? This, our stock and trade, has been returned to us, so we shall get more food for our family, and we shall take care of our brother, to add at the same time for almost load of grain for our provisions. This is but a small quantity. Jacob said, never will I send him with you until you swear by solemn oath to me in Allah's name that you will be sure to bring him back to me, unless you are yourselves hemmed in and made powerless. And when he had sworn a solemn oath, we say, over all that we say, be Allah the witness and guardian. Further, he said, O my sons, enter not all by one gate, enter you by different gates. Not that I can profit you aught against Allah's with my advice. None can command except Allah. On him do I put my trust, and all that trust put their trust on me. And when they entered in the manner their Lord had enjoined on, it did not profit them in the least against the plan of Allah. It served only to satisfy Jacob's heartfelt desire, for he was, by our instruction, full of knowledge and experience, but most men know not. Now when they came into Joseph's presence, he received his four brother to stay with him. He said to him, Behold, I am your brother. So grieve not at aught of their doings. At length, when he had furnished them with provisions suitable for them, he put the drinking cup into his brother's saddlebag. Then shouted out, crier, O you in the caravan, behold, you are thieves without doubt. They said, turning towards them, what is it that you miss? He said, we missed the great beaker of the king. For him who produces it, the reward of a camel load, I will be bound by it. The brother said, By Allah, well you know we came not to make mischief in the land, and we are no thieves. The Egyptian said, What then shall be the penalty of this, if you are proved to be liars? They said, The penalty should be that he in whose saddlebag is found should be held as bondman to atone for the crime. Thus it is we punish the wrongdoers. So he began to search with their saddlebags. Before he came to the baggage of his brother, at length he brought it out of his brother's baggage. Thus did we plan for Joseph. He could not take his brother by the law of the king, except that Allah wills it. So we raised a degree of wisdom whom we please, but over all endured with knowledge is one, all knowing. They said, if he steals, that there was a brother of his who did steal before him. But these things did Joseph keep locked in his heart, revealing not the secrets to them. He said to himself, You are the worst situated, and Allah knows best the truth of what you assert. He said, O exalted one, behold, he has a father, aged and vulnerable, who will grieve for him. So take one of us in his place, for we see that you are generous, gracious, good, doing good. He said, Allah forbid that we take other than him with whom we found our property. Indeed, we do so, we should be acting wrongfully. Now, when they saw no hope of his yielding, they held a conference in private. The leader among them said, Know you not, your father did take an oath from you in Allah's name, and how before this you did fail in your duty with Joseph. Therefore will I not leave this land if your father permits me, or Allah judges for me, and he is the best to judge. Turn you back to your father and say, O our father, behold, thy son committed theft. We bear witness only to what we know. We could not well guard against the unseen. Asked at the town where we have been and the caravan in which we returned, and you will find we are indeed telling the truth. Jacob said, No, but you have yourselves trifled a story good enough for you. So patience is most fit for me. Maybe Allah will bring them back all to me in. For he is indeed full of knowledge and wisdom. And he turned away from them and said, how great is the grief for Joseph. And his eyes became with sorrow. And he was suppressed with silent sorrow. They said, by Allah, never will you cease to remember Joseph until you reach the last extremities of illness or until you die. He said, I only complain of my attraction, anguish to Allah, and know from Allah that which you know not. O my sons, go you and inquire about Joseph and his brother, and never give up hope of Allah's soothing mercy. Truly, no one despairs of Allah's soothing mercy except those who have no faith. Then, when they came back to Joseph's presence, they said, O exalted one, distress has seized us and father and our family. We have now brought by scanty capital, so pay us full measure. We pay you and treat it as charity to us. For Allah do reward the charitable. He said, know ye how you dealt with Joseph and his brother, not knowing what you were doing? They said, are you indeed Joseph? He said, I am Joseph, and this is my brother. Allah has indeed been gracious to us all. Behold, he that is righteous and patient, never will Allah suffer the reward to be lost of those who do right. They said, by Allah, indeed, has Allah preferred you above us, and we certainly have been guilty of sin. Excuse me. He said, this day, let no reproach be cast on you. Allah will forgive you. And he is most merciful of those who show mercy. Go with the shirt and cast it over the face of my father. He will come to see clearly. Then come you here to me together with all your family. When the caravan left, their father said, I do indeed sense the presence of Joseph. No, think me not a doctor. They said, by Allah, truly you art in thy old wandering illusion. And when the bearer of good news came, he cast a shirt over his face, and he forthwith regained clear sight. He said, did I not say to you, know from Allah that which you know not? They said, our father, ask for us forgiveness for our sins, for we were truly at fault. He said, soon will I ask my Lord for forgiveness for you, for he is indeed all forgiving, most merciful. Then when he entered the presence of Joseph, he provided a home for his parents with himself. And he said, enter you Egypt in the safety if it pleases Allah. And he raised his parents high on the throne and fell down in prostration all before him. He said, O my father, this is the fulfillment of my vision of old. Allah has made it come true. He was indeed good to me when he took me out of prison and brought you all here out of the desert, even after Satan has sown enmity between me and my brothers. Verily, my Lord is gracious to whom he wills, for verily he is full of knowledge and wisdom. O my Lord, you have indeed bestowed on me some power and taught me something of the interpretation of dreams. O you creator of the heavens and earth, you are my protector in this world and the hereafter. Take you my soul at death, use as one submitting to your will, and untie me. With and unite me with the righteous. such is one of the stories had unseen, which we revealed by inspiration unto you. Nor were you present with them when they concert their plans together in the process of weaving their thoughts. Yet no faith will the greater part of mankind have, however ardently you do desire it. And no reward do you ask of them for this. It is no less than a message for all creatures. And how many signs in the heavens and the earth do they pass by, yet they turn their faces away from them. And most of them believe not in Allah without associating others as partners with him. Do they then feel secure from coming against them of the covering veil of the wrath of Allah, or coming against them of the final hour all of a sudden while they perceive not? This is my way. I do invite into Allah with a certain knowledge, I and whoever follows me. Glory to Allah and reverence with will, and never will I join gods with Allah. Nor did we send before you as messengers any but men whom we did inspire, men from the peoples of the towns. Do they not travel to the earth and see what was the end of those before them? But the home of the hereafter is best for those who do right. Will you not then understand? Respite will be granted until when the messengers give up hope of their people and come to think that they were treated as liars. Their reaches them are help, and those whom we will are delivered into safety, but never will be reward off our punishment from those who are in sin. There is in their stories instruction for men endued with understanding. It is not a tale invented, but a confirmation of what went before it, a detailed exposition of all things, and a guide and a mercy to any such as believe. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Lam Mim Ra. These are the verses of the book that which has been revealed unto me from the Lord is the truth, but most men believe not. Allah is he who raised the heavens without any pillars that you can see. Then he established himself on the throne. He has subjected the sun and the moon. Each one runs his course for a term appointed. He do regulate all affairs, explaining the signs in detail, that you may believe in certainty in the meeting with your Lord. And he it is who spread out the earth and set thereon mountains standing firm, and flowing rivers, and fruit of every kind he made in pairs, two and two. He drew the night as a veil over the day. Behold, verily in these things there are signs for those who consider. And in the earth are tricks diverse, though neighboring, garden of vines, and fields sown with corn and palm trees, growing out of single roots or otherwise watered with the same water. Yet some of them make more excellent than others to eat. Behold, verily in these things there are signs for those who understand. If you marvel at their want of faith, strange is their saying. When we are actually dust, shall we indeed then be in a creation renewed? They are those who deny their Lord. They are those round whose necks will be yokes of servitude. They will be companions of the fire to dwell therein. I ask you to hasten on the evil in preference to good, yet have come to pass before them many exemplary punishments. Verily, their Lord is full of forgiveness for mankind for their wrongdoing, and verily, their Lord is strict in punishment. And the unbelievers say, why is not a sign sent down to him from his Lord? know you, but you are truly a wanderer, and to every people of God, a warner. But you are truly a warner, and to every people of God. Allah do know what every female womb do bear, by how much the womb short of their time of or number, or do exceed. Every single thing is with him in due proportion. He knows the unseen and that which is open. He is the great, the most high. It is the same to him whether any of you conceal his speech or declare it openly, whether he lie hid by night or walk forth freely by day. For each there are angels in succession before and behind him. They guard him by command of Allah. Verily, never will Allah change the condition of a people until they change what is in themselves. But when once Allah wills a people's punishment, there can be no turning it back, nor will they find besides him any to protect. It is he who do show you the lightning by way both of fear and of hope. And it is he who raise up the cloud heavy with rain. No, thunder repeats his praise, and so do the angels with awe. He flings the loud voiced thunderbolts, and therewith he strikes whomsoever he wills. Yet these are men, the while they are disputing about Allah, he is the mighty in power. To him is due the true prayer. To him is due the true prayer. Any others that they call upon besides him hear them no more than if they were to stretch forth their hands for water to reach their mouths. But it reaches them not, for the prayer of those without faith is nothing but vain prayer. Whatever being there are in the heavens and the earth do prostrate themselves to Allah with good will or in spite of themselves. So do their shadows in the morning and the evening. Say, who is the Lord and sustainer of the heavens and the earth? Say, it is Allah. Say, do you then take worship protectors other than him, such as have no power either for good or harm to themselves? Say, are blind equal with those who see? Are the depths of darkness equal with light? Or do they assign to Allah partners who have created anything as he has created, so that the creation seem to them similar? Say, Allah is the creator of all things. He is the one, the supreme and irresistible. He sends down water from the skies, and the channels flow, each according to its measure. But torrent bears away the foam that mounts up to the surface. Even so, from that ore which they heat and then the fire, make ornaments and utensils therewith, there is a scum likewise. Thus doeth Allah by parables show forth truth and falsehood. For the scum disappears like forth cast out, while that which is for the good of mankind remains on earth. Thus doeth Allah set forth parables. For those to him, even if they had all that is in the heavens and on earth, and as much more, in vain would they offer it for ransom. For them will be reckoning, will the reckoning be terrible. Their abode will be hell, but a bed of misery. Is there one who do know that which has been revealed unto you from your Lord is the truth, like one who is blind? Is it those who are endued with understanding that receive admonition? Those who fulfill the covenant of Allah and fail not in their plighted word? Those who join together those things which Allah has commanded to be joined? Hold their Lord in awe and fear the terrible reckoning. those who patiently persevere, seeking the countenance of the Lord, establish regular prayers, spend out of the gifts we support for their sustenance, secretly and openly, and turn off evil with good, for such there is the final attainment of the eternal home. Gardens of perpetual bliss, they shall enter there, as well as the righteous among their fathers, their spouses, and their offspring, and angels are enter unto them from every gate. Peace unto you, for that you persevered in patience. Now how excellent is the final home. But those who break the covenant of us after having put their word thereto, and cut asunder those things which Allah has commanded to be joined, and work mischief in the land, on them is curse, for them is terrible home. Allah do enlarge or grant by restriction, by strict measure, the substance which he gives to whomso he pleases. The world rejoices in the life of this world, but the life of this world is but little comfort compared to the hereafter. The unbelievers say, why is not a sign sent down to him from his Lord? Say, truly Allah leads the state and wills, but he guides himself those who turn to him in repentance. Those who believe and whose hearts find satisfaction in the remembrance of Allah, without doubt is the remembrance of Allah do hearts find satisfaction. For those who believe and work righteousness, it is every blessedness and a beautiful place of return. Thus have we sent you among people who before whom long since have other peoples gone and passed away, in order that you might rehearse unto them what we send down unto you by inspiration. Yet do they reject him, the most gracious. Say, he is my Lord, there is no God but he. On him is my trust, and to him do I turn. If there were a Quran with which mountains were moved, or the earth were cloven asunder, or the dead made to speak, this is one. But truly, the command is with Allah in all things. Do not the believers know that had Allah so willed, he could have guided all mankind? But the unbelievers, never would disaster seize them for their ill deeds, or settle close to their homes, until the promise of Allah comes to pass. For verily Allah will not fail in his promise. Mocked were many messengers before you, but I grant respite to the unbelievers, and finally I punished them. Then how terrible was my requital. Is then he who stands over every soul and knows all that it do, like any other? And yet they ascribe partners to Allah. Say, but name them. Is it that you will inform him of something he knows not on earth, or is it just a show of words? No. To those who believe not, their devising seems pleasing, but they are kept back thereby from the path, and those whom Allah leads astray, none can guide. For them is the path and the like of this world, but harder, truly, is the chastisement of the hereafter, and defender have they none against Allah. The parable of the garden which the righteous are promised, beneath it flows rivers, perpetual is the fruits thereof, and the shade therein. Such is the end of the righteous, and the end of the unbelievers is the fire. Those to whom we have given the book rejoice at what has been revealed unto you. But there are among the clans those who reject a part thereof. Say, I am commanded to worship Allah, and not join God partners with him. Unto him do I call, and unto him is my term. Thus I revealed it to be a judgment of authority in Arabic. Were you to follow their vain desires after the knowledge has reached thee, then would you find neither protector nor defender against Allah. We did send messengers before you and appoint for them wives and children. And it was never the part of the messenger to bring a sign except as Allah permits. For each period is an appointment. Allah do blot out or confirm what he pleases. With him is the mother of the book. Whether we shall show you in your lifetime part of what we promise them or take to us your soul. Your duty is to make the message reach them. It is our part to call them to account. See they not that we gradually reduce the land from its outlining borders where Allah commands. There is none to put back his command, and he is swift in calling to account. Those before them did also devise plots, but in all things Allah is the deviser altogether. He knows the doings of every soul, and soon will the unbelievers know who gets home in the end. The unbelievers say, "No messenger." Excuse me. No messenger are you. Say, enough for a witness between me and you is Allah, and such as have knowledge of the book. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alif Lam Ra. Excuse me for a quick second. Okay. Alif Lam Ra. A book which we have revealed unto you in order that you might lead mankind out of the depths of darkness into light, by the leave of their Lord, by the way of him, the exalted power, worthy of all praise. Of Allah, to whom do belong all things in the heavens and on earth, do but at last, for the unbelievers is a terrible punishment. Those who prefer the life of this world to the hereafter, who hinder the path of Allah, and seek to be crooked, They are astray by a long distance. We send not a messenger except in the language of his people in order to make clear to them. So Allah leads astray those whom he pleases, and he guides whom he pleases, and he is exalted in power, full of wisdom. We sent Moses with our signs. Bring out your people from the depths of darkness into light, and remind them of the days of Allah. Verily in this there are signs for such as are firmly patient and constant, grateful and appreciative. Remember Moses said to his people, call to mind the favor of Allah to you when he delivered you from the people of Pharaoh. They set you hard tasks and punishment, slaughtered your sons and let your womenfolk live. Therein was a tremendous trial from your Lord. And remember, your Lord caused be declared, if you are grateful, I will add more unto you. If you show ingratitude, truly my punishment is terrible indeed. And Moses said, if you show ingratitude, you are all on earth together. Yet is Allah free of all wants, worthy of all praise. Has not the story reached you of those before you, the people of Noah, the Ad, the Thamud, and those who came after them? None knows them but Allah. To them came messengers with clear signs. But they put their hands up to their mouths to say, we do deny this mission you have been sent. And we are really in suspicious, disquieting doubt as to which you invite us. Their messenger said, is there a doubt about Allah, creator of the heavens and earth? It is he who invites you in order that he may forgive you your sins and give you respite for a term appointed. They said, ah, you are no more than him, like ourselves. Yet you wish to turn us away from what our fathers used to worship. Then bring us some clear authority. The messenger said to them, true, we are human like yourselves, but Allah to grant his grace to such of his servants as he pleases. It is not for us to bring you an authority except as Allah permits, and on Allah let all men put their trust. Why? We should not put our trust on Allah. And indeed, he has guided us to the ways we follow. We shall certainly bear with patience all the hurt you caused us. For those who put their trust should put their trust on Allah. And the unbelievers said to their messengers, be sure we shall drive you out of our land, or you shall return to our religion. But their Lord inspired to them early, we shall cause the wrongdoers to perish. Verily, we shall call you to abide in the land and succeed them. For this such as fear the time when they shall stand before my tribunal, such as fear my punishment. But they sought victory and decision there and then. And the frustration was the lot of every powerful obstacle transgressor. In front of such a one is hell, and he is given for drink boiling fetid water. In gulps will he sip it, but never will he be near swallowing down his throat. Death will come to him from every quarter, yet will he not die, and in front of him will be a chastisement unrelenting. The parable of those who reject their Lord is that their works are as ashes, which the wind blows fiercely on a tempestuous day. No power have they over aught that they have earned. That is the strain for away. See you not that Allah created the heavens and the earth in truth? If he so will, he can remove you and put in your place in creation. Nor is it that Allah any great matter. They will all be marshaled before Allah together. Then will the weak say to those who are arrogant, for us, we but followed you. Can you then avail us of all against the wrath of Allah? They will reply, if we had received the guidance of Allah, we should have given it to you. To us, it makes no difference now whether we rage or bear this torment. Patience, for ourselves, there is no way of escape. And Satan will say when the matter is decided, if it was Allah who gave you a promise of truth, I too promised, but I failed in my promise to you. I had no authority over you except to call you, but you listened to me. Then reproach me, but reproach your own souls. I cannot listen to your cries, nor can you listen to mine. I reject your former act in associating me with Allah. For wrongdoers, there must be a grievous chastisement. For those who believe and work righteousness will be admitted to gardens beneath which rivers flow, to dwell therein forever, with the leaves of their Lord. Their grief therein will be peace. See you not how Allah sets forth a parable, a goodly word like a goodly tree? Those roots is firmly fixed, and whose branches reach to the heavens. It bring forth its fruit all times by the leave of his Lord. So Allah sets forth parables for men in order that they may receive admonition. And the parable of the evil worker is that of an evil tree. It is torn up by the roots of the surface of the earth. It has no stability. Allah will establish in strength those who believe with the word that stands firm. in this world and in the hereafter. But Allah will leave to stay those who do wrong. Allah do what He wills. Have you not turned your thought to those who exchange the favor of Allah with ingratitude and cause their people to descend to the house of perdition, into hell? They will burn therein, an evil place to stay in. And they set up idols as equal to Allah to mislead men far from His path. See, enjoy your brief power, but verily you are making straight way for hell. Speak to my servants who have believed, that they may establish regular prayers and spend in charity out of the substance we have given them, secretly, openly, before the coming of a day which there will be neither mutual bargaining nor befriend. It is Allah who has created the heavens and the earth and strengthens down rain in the sky, and with it brings our fruits wherewith to feed you. It is He who has made the ships subject to you, that they may sail through the sea by His command, and that the rivers as He made subject to you. And He has made subject to you the sun and the moon, both diligently pursuing their courses in the night and the day, as He made subject to you. And He gives you of all that you ask for, but if you count the favor of Allah, never will you be able to number them. Verily, man is given up to injustice and ingratitude. Remember, Abraham said, O my Lord, make this city one of peace and security, and preserve me and my sons from worshipping idols. O my Lord, they have indeed led astray many among mankind. He then follows my way is of me, and he that disobeys me, but you are indeed forgiving, most merciful. O our Lord, I have made some of my offspring to dwell in a valley without cultivation, by your sacred house, in order, O our Lord, that they may establish regular prayer. So fill the hearts of some among men with love towards them, and feed them with fruits, so that they may give thanks. O our Lord, truly, you do know what we conceal and what we reveal. For nothing whatever is hidden from Allah, whether on earth or in heaven. Praise be to Allah, who has granted unto me in old age Ishmael and Isaac. For truly, my Lord is He, the hearer of prayer. O my Lord, make me one who establishes regular prayer, and also raise such among offspring. O our Lord, and accept you my prayer. O Lord, our Lord, cover us with your forgiveness, me, my parents, and all believers, on the day that the reckoning will be established. Think not that Allah do not heed the deeds of those who do wrong. He but gives them respite against a day when the eyes will be fixed, stare in horror. They running towards with necks stretched, their heads uplifted, their gaze returned towards them, and their hearts a void. So warn mankind of the day when the wrath will reach them. Then will the wrongdoers say, Our Lord, respite us, if only for a short term. We will answer your call and follow the messengers. What, were you not wont to swear aforetime that you should suffer no decline? And you dwell in a dwelling of men who wrong themselves. You were clearly shown how we dealt with them, and we put forth parables for all to behold. Mighty indeed were the plots which they made, but their plots were in the sight of Allah, even though they were such as to shake the heels. Never think that Allah would fail His messengers in His promise, for Allah is exalted in power, the Lord of retribution. One day the earth will be changed to a different earth, and so will the heavens, and men will be marshaled forth before Allah, the One, the Irresistible. And you will see the sinners that day bound together in peace, their garments liquid pitch, and their faces covered with fire. That Allah may respite each soul according to his deed, to his deserves. And verily Allah is swift in calling to account. Here is a message for mankind, that they may take warning therefrom, and may know that He is one Allah. Let men who understand take heed. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Aleph Lam Ra. These are the ayats of revelation of a Quran that makes things clear. Sadaqallah Adeem. Surely Allah has spoken the truth. That is the reading for today, part or juice or of 13. And inshallah, we are now at 14. All right. Assalamu alaikum, my brother Michael, I believe. Michael.
Yes, sir. Brother Michael calling from Selma, Alabama. Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Ramadan Mubarak. Thank you so much. I so often get behind, I'm beginning to see that I got reading issues. But I was following y'all, praise be to Allah. I was following you, and it's such a reward to do what God say do. And this theme just kept coming over and over again, the one that I shared last week, this idea of worship, you know. And yes. This morning, I was reading the El Ma'un, Neighborly Needs, and this same idea, you know, going to prayer but forgetting about the offerings, forgetting about good behavior to the neighbors, you know, but caught up in ritualism, you know, worshiping, you know, and God says for all the people, don't worship the God of the house, worship the God, the Lord of the house,
yes,
not the house. The orientation is not to be worshiped. The orientation is to obey a God in our method of prayer that He has given us, or method of remembrance. And worship and work are the same thing. You know, they're included. You know, worship is more than just words. It's being productive, being not so much what you call a me oriented, you know, but being us oriented, you know, and doing those things that God clearly lays out. You know, this was a beautiful reading, you know, the Yusuf Allah says it's, Yusuf is so instructive, you know. And you said there were so many human issues, you know. Desiring daddy's favor, wanting daddy's favor, one baby mama, you know, another baby mama, you know, kind of thing. It's just so beautiful, you know. And alhamdulillah, thank you so much. Thank you.
No, thank you, my brother. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. All right, I believe Sister Nia, man, I'm assuming you're just lining up for your show, and I'm just going to let me check in with you. Whoops, and make sure. Sister Nia, man, you're just lining up for your show, or you got a question or comment?
Just lining up for the show.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Okay, inshallah, that is the reading for today. Inshallah, we did not have the Arabic recitation with that, but again, inshallah, we always try to give way to the Quran during the month of Ramadan. Again, Dr. Nordine will not be here in the last four. So in that, excuse me. Oh, excuse me. Apologize. So in that hour, we will have the discussion or talk on reinventing or elevating oneself during the month of Ramadan. We will use that time and space for that. We do want to encourage you to think about, if not, inshallah, actually attend the community shortage in Fayetteville, August 16th through the 17th, I mean, through the 18th, inshallah, in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We will be discussing, and I say, the community as a whole and clearly in a general sense. A lot of people have expressed, I guess, interest, and say interest, but inshallah, may not be able to make it, but the interest is always good. You know that. At least I say people are listening, but maybe it's actually something that people want and need. And if you're ever looking to go into business, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to find a need or want to actually satisfy within the body of people. You don't want to say, well, this just be something that I think I need. Well, maybe true, but do enough people need what you need in order to make a living at it? And our survey, which I am putting together, I apologize, the first 2 weeks or so I had to be on the road and handle some family business. But we hope to have a survey put together, these extract the information. I'm saying that to say this. One of the things that come out of the survey to me, and that is that people, and probably enough people, see the community, a good community, but stagnant. And maybe that issue that Michael just talking about, you know, is the work. And also, inshallah, that that of, let's say, direction slash leadership, you know. And these are kinds of definitions and things that we have to get for ourselves to begin to understand. So what are we lacking? What would give us the impression? What would satisfy our hearts and minds and say that we are working? What will be the thing that will say, now this is what we call leadership? This is an act of leadership or a symbol of leadership. So there is a void in people that no matter how you look at the community and you can see certain things happening, there is still a something missing in the heart of the people. So inshallah, this is what Shura is about. How do we fulfill that which is in our hearts or that which is missing? And during this reading we just read, well, again, you know, if you're in charge of changing, moving, improving your heart, improving your situation or the sentiments and the desires, maybe included in that definition. If you have dissatisfaction in the heart, then it's your responsibility to bring satisfaction to that heart, and therefore then, inshallah, make progress. You can now move forward. You can begin to find new avenues to create and maintain that satisfaction. It's so anyway, I wanted to kind of give you that, but we will hopefully, and soon, maybe hopefully by this Friday, we'll gather all of the information together and we're comfortable presenting it, inshallah, publishing it so that you can see it, use it, or read it for yourself. That is the purpose of it. It's not for me individually or for American Muslim 360 individually. It is for the people. And so we'll get that information out to you as freely as possible when we have the information. All right, we're going to go ahead and give way to Sister Nehemiah, inshallah. I will be back in the next hour, last hour, but I'm going to take a salat break as soon as Nimat comes on, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Brother Thomas,
yeah.
I noticed that your voice is a bit wavering, and so keep an ear out after Salat to see if I'm transmitting okay. There's some. I was able to listen to your entire show this morning, but noticed some fluctuations in and out. That was pretty constant, so just a heads up on that.
All right. Well, it's all yours, inshallah. Right back after Salat.
Alhamdulillah, shukran. And assalamu alaikum wa ramadan mubarak to you, dear listening audience. And welcome to another segment of The Pearls of Women here on AM 360. We are blessed. We're graced by Allah to be gifted still with the breath of life and able to be in one another's presence for this time. I say this to you on this morning in that here in the Bay Area, in the Oakland area, one of our dear sisters, Sister Khadija Shaheed, she's been ill and Allah has called her in. To Allah we belong and to Allah we return. And we were blessed, some of us, to be there at that moment of her transition. And it just reminds us, of the day that is awaiting us all and how precious time is, both here and in the state that comes after here, hereafter. And so it's a blessing. Every moment that we have here to change, to rectify our behavior, to improve, to fast, to read the Quran, to do good deeds, is a blessing. It is a blessing. And I know we all, really we do, unless one is sick. If one is sick, they don't take this idea for granted. But if we are well, then we really do. We take the idea for granted and we really don't consider it in that we aren't facing any challenges. And so we thank Allah. We thank Allah for the opportunity to be in one another's presence another day. We give praise and we give thanks to Allah for blessing us during this month with so many opportunities to eat and pray together. You know, I told a sister this evening while we were having iftar, we were sitting and eating together. Let me tell you, Masjid Worthy, Oakland, California, man, the iftars, I mean, it is heavenly. Allah is the house most nights that I've been there, and I've been doing pretty good since I'm back in the area now, are packed. Young people coming out, people we haven't seen people coming through to visit, food, the buzzing of good spirits, salat. Oh, it's so beautiful. So I told the sister, I said, you know what, Sister Najia? Sister name is Najia. I said, I wish we could do this every day except Friday. Every day except Friday. You know, we don't fast on Fridays unless it's during the month of Ramadan. That's why I said except Fridays. That if we could just fast every day, and then when we get ready to eat, we go to the masjid. We all go to the masjid with our food. We eat together and we pray together, and then we go home. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Fasting every day and then eating together and praying together. And so we thank Allah. We thank Allah for this month and the beauty that it brings to us, the reminders of the social circumstances that we really should be participating in and practicing more often. And I know we can't fast every day. It's prescribed, the 30 days. But we have the fast of Dawood, the Tuesdays and the Thursdays, to begin to embrace more. But it's wonderful. It's beautiful, this month and what it brings. And so we thank Allah. We thank Allah for the prescription written upon us during this month, a prescription of self-restraint. And we thank Allah for the power to chain Satan in the arena of our own internal constitution, that we are empowered as the prescription puts upon us a set of circumstances that makes us more empowered than usual. And so we thank Allah for that ability to chain Satan. We thank Allah for the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Quran, which can be seen in Prophet Muhammad as a living example. The Quran is alive. It is demonstrated in the Prophet. And when we read the book, and when we practice, and we apply, and we struggle to comprehend, and we search for examples that represent circumstances that are currently going on in our lives, for the indicators to tell us what to do and how to handle it. When we read the Quran, that gives us the perspective on how we should perceive it. And we embrace that and move about the day with it as an understanding, the hope, the guidance, and the comfort. Then we begin to take the Quran on as flesh and bones. You see, and you know, the Quran must become embedded in our hearts. You know, everything has a place. You know, that's sort of a thought that, you know, in my mind around the house, a place for everything. There's a place for everything, and everything in its place. Well, the Quran has a place. Physically, we may have it on the shelf or a little stand. We may have it near our beds or wrapped up in a nice cloth, or carried in our purses, our backpacks, and our cars. That's it in the written book form. But the words, the spirit, the prescription, the criteria, the parables, the examples, the signs, the verses, the instructions, the warnings, they should be kept in our hearts. And so when we are reading and when we are studying, we should do it from our hearts. Last week I told you, dear listening audience, that I would share a quote from Imam Mufti Muhammad. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon him. And I was able to locate it. I'd like to read that to you, make some points about it, refer to a verse, selected readings from the Quran, and then go right away into a review of the hadiths from last week and our sharing on the heart. This is from 2003. Actually, it's November 16th, the day after my birthday. My birthday is on the 15th. This was on November the 16th, 2003. I was blessed to be at one of the Ramadan sessions. It may have been my first one. I can't remember, but it was one of the early ones. I wasn't able to make many of them, just only a few, and this was one of those occasions. I had a question that had been evolving within me, and, you know, the imam opens up for questions and answers at the Ramadan sessions, and as soon as he announced it, I ran. I was like one of the first, maybe 10 persons in line, and I chickened out. My heart started pounding. I became afraid. So I get out the line. Now, the line had gotten long by then. It had wrapped all the way around the room almost. I went and I sat back down, but my heart kept bothering me. You know, I was caught between being afraid but wanting to have the answer to the question. So I got back up. I got at the end of the line. There was two persons behind me, I believe. One, Brother Asmar from Oakland. Asmar's from Vallejo, I believe. And another person. So, but basically, I was the third person from the end of the line. Very long line. And I stayed in it. And I had my question written down, and when I finally made it to the front, this is what I read. And, you know, the beauty of the books that you can get on the lectures of Imam Mufti Muhammad is they put the questions and the answers, and it's pretty accurate. In fact, when I read it, I said, yeah, that sounds like me. So here's the question. Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak. This is my question. It revolves around the heart as the organ of intelligence. As our mind has analytical abilities, a rationale, logic, deductive reasoning, abstract and concrete thinking, which guides us, how does our heart compare to our mind, and what are its abilities in comparison to the mind? And how does or can they, the heart and the mind, work together? The heart refers matter to the brain. This was Imam Mufti Muhammad's response. He says, that is a good question. The heart as a symbol in this language we are speaking now, it is the seat of life for the mind. You don't have some thoughts in your mind until you first have desire in you for it. You think on what you are attracted to, and that is because of your heart, your caring nature, your interest. The heart is first, then the mind. The heart influences the thinking. If your heart is wrong, your thinking is going to be wrong. If your heart is right, most likely your thinking is going to be right, or at least you'll be in a situation to get your thinking right if your heart is right. The Quran descends upon the Prophet's heart. This is Surah 26, verse 192 through 194. Verily, this is a revelation from the Lord of the worlds. With it came down the spirit of faith and truth. To thy heart and mind, that ye may be admonished. The Imam continues, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us of his communication of Quran to Muhammad, the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, what did he say? He said, he caused it to descend upon his heart, because his heart was hungry for it. That is why we gave it to him, because his heart is the one requesting it. It was not his brain. His heart was asking for help. But when he gave it to his heart referred it to his intelligence, and it illuminated his mind. He ends finally by saying, now you asked a lot. I don't have time to answer all of that. Thank you. End of quote. I should have stayed in the front of the line. MashaAllah. So beautiful. That, so profound. You know, I was thinking about that. That was in 2003. I've been doing quite a bit of research on the subject matter and in that viewing and reviewing some of the scientists' perspectives on it. They're just coming into this insight, some of the latest scientists. So, alhamdulillah, very clearly, Imam Wahdi Muhammad was blessed by God with insight. So, as we sort of summarize that sharing, the question and answer, the points are these. The heart is a symbol for the seat of the life for the mind. One. Two. If your heart desires it, this is important. Your heart desires it. Then your mind gets thoughts. So the thoughts that are generated as is a result of what the heart desires. So whatever you have in your life right now, whatever the circumstances are, it started in your heart as a desire that generated this idea of illumination in your mind, and you acquired it. It's not mind-based. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't start in your head. It starts in your chest and then moves up to your mind. Number three, whatever you are attracted to is your heart's interest. Whatever you are attracted to is your heart's interest. So if you are attracted to the bad things, it's your heart. If you are engaged, or those who are engaged in a lot of bad stuff and wrong stuff, it's that morsel of flesh in the chest. It's the heart. So the reverse is true. Whatever one may be attracted to an interest of good and acquiring, it is the heart. It is that morsel of flesh in the chest. Point four. Heart first.
Assalamu alaikum.
Let me
know, one's been holding for a little moment. I'm trying to, you just let me know when you want to cut right now, but
okay.
Let you know
when
Brother Bilal holding.
We'll have him hold, and we'll finish some preliminary information,
okay.
And then we'll open the
mic. Go right here.
Thank you, alhamdulillah, shukran. Point four, it's the heart first, then the mind. Some of this is repetitive, but that's good. Point five, the heart influences the thinking. Point six, the heart has wrong thinking the thinking is wrong, the heart is right, the thinking is right. And the last point, the heart made a request. And as it related to the Prophet, and based on that request, then Allah answered it. So with that last point, it's important that when we are beseeching God, that we learn how to do it from our hearts. You know what it made me do just this week? Because I have so many experiences now around the heart, giving it my attention. That, you know, when we make salah, two places, well, depending on the school of thought, but for us, two places. Brother Thomas, could you mute your phone? Thank you, alhamdulillah, shukra. Two places where we place our hands in the prayer. We could right hand over left near our stomach navel area, or right hand over left in the upper chest area. So I thought, because I had moved it to, you know, midsection, stomach, navel area, I said, I'm not doing that anymore. It's a consciousness. I have to continue to practice in order for it to become permanent. I'm going to put my hand up over my heart when I pray. And, you know, when you do that, you can feel your heart beating. And it reminds you not to pray from your brain, to pray from your heart. And it also reminds me, and I didn't go back to refresh the hadith, but inshallah soon, of a hadith that talks about those who pray and their heart barely reaches their throat. And so we want to, in our prayers, be more mindful of where our hearts are, and how the heart is what is praying. The heart is praying to God, and the intellect is forming the words. The heart is carrying what it is that we're saying, inshallah, to the Most High. We'll step back now and let Brother Bilal make his statements, and then we'll go to the Quran and continue forward. Brother Thomas.
Hold on just a sector. Bilal?
Yes. Assalamu alaikum.
Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Alhamdulillah. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak.
You know, if you have a situation, oh, yeah, no, voice one thing, I'm not sure, but maybe I said this before, but I want to, maybe I'm going to look into it. The fast of Da'ud, because I think I wanted to do that fast years ago, every other day. You know, you fast one day, and then you're breaking. Fast, and then you're breaking. But I'm thinking about, Imam Qasim Ahmed, he's doing a series, too, on that, on the heart, dealing with the mind. On Tuesday, the intellect, I mean, I'm ask you, if the intellect I'll put it like that. The heart has the heart want to do something, strong consciousness to do something, but if we don't have the proper knowledge to do it, you know, it's like we would do things that not appropriate because morally we want to do it, but if our intellect is not prepared to do it, well, then that'd be a conflict. I think so.
All right, as-salamu. Well, maybe we'll address it as we continue and talk about, you know, heart states and gives them lots of ways to answer that or that I can possibly respond to it, but I think I like to go on with the discourse, and in that way it will be answered, inshallah. Any other callers, Brother Thomas?
No, not at the present moment.
All right, alhamdulillah.
No, I'm sorry. No, Brother Michael. Brother Michael has popped up. Brother Michael, did you? Okay, there he is. Brother Michael? So Assalamu alaikum, Brother Michael. Did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I have. Assalamu alaikum. I had my phone muted.
Alaykum assalam.
Ramadan Mubarak to you and to the listening player. I was not going to plug in because I see there's a direction and a content that you want to complete. And but the brother mentioned about the fast of Dawood, and I believe he's correct, and that was considered by Prophet Muhammad the best to eat every other day, or I should say fast every other day. And you were talking, Sister Niman, about the covering of the heart. I heard Imam Nasser Ahmed 2 years ago in a Ramadan session talk about the issues with the male and the female, and the symbol of covering of the abdomen area for the brothers, because that's an issue that the brothers have, and the hands over that area. And similarly, he talked about the issue of the heart with the female, and in the covering of the heart by the female in Salat. You know, it was very, very interesting how he put that. And the man's appetite and the woman's sentiment, you know, and protecting those with God's prayer, because those are issues of concern for the two sexes. I thank you, and I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No interruption, alhamdulillah. I've been up since yesterday. As I said, my sister passed, and so I'm a little different keyed right now, and I haven't had any sleep yet. MashaAllah, I came right home maybe about an hour before the show, and just still moving forward. But let me just say, I'm going to go back and check. That in reference to Dawood, I think it's both of them. Tuesday and Thursday stands out in my mind in the hadith, but I think there was another one for every other day. But I'll go back and check that. We just know that there are other options to fasting that is a benefit to us other than the month of Ramadan, and we need to begin to look at those and to practice them. I'm also glad to hear that Imam Qasim is also speaking about the heart and the mind. I think Imam Shoaib on his Tuesday morning tapes of Imam Wafti Muhammad, very interesting information also on the heart and mind. So it's just a blessing to be able to gather all this information to help develop the proper perspectives about our hearts. Very important. So let me go now to Surah 22, verse 52 through 54. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa ma arsalna min qablika min rasulin wala nabiyyin illa idha tamanna alqa shaitanu fi umniyati fayan سَقُ اللَّهُ مَا يُلْقِي الشَّيْطَانُ ثُمَّ يُحْقِمُ اللَّهُ آيَاتِهِ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ لِيَجْعَلَ مَا يُلْقِي الشَّيْطَانُ فِتْنَةً لِلَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ وَالْقَاسِيَاتِ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ لَفِي شقاق بعد وليعلم الذين أوتوا العلم أنه الحق من ربك فيؤمنوا به فتقبت له قلوبهم وإن الله لهادي الذين آمنوا إلى صراط مستقيم ولا يزل الذين كفروا في مريات منه حتى تأتي يحوم الساعة بقة أو يأتي يحوم عذاب يوم عقيم. صدق الله العظيم. If I don't want to go too far. Let's check really quick. Yes. I read an extra ayat. I didn't want to read that last ayat. And Yusuf Ali. Never did we send a messenger or prophet before thee, but when he framed a desire, Satan threw some, in parentheses, vanity into his desire. But Allah will cancel anything vain that Satan throws in, and Allah will confirm and establish his signs, for Allah is full of knowledge and wisdom, that he may make the suggestions thrown in by Satan but a trial for those in whose hearts is a disease and who are hardened of heart. Verily, the wrongdoers are in a schism, far from the truth. And that those on whom knowledge has been bestowed may learn that the Quran is the truth from thy Lord, and that they may believe therein, and their hearts may be made humbly open to it. For verily, Allah is the guide of those who believe to the straight way. Surely Allah, the Most High, speaks the truth. Such a beautiful verse, and very important in its description about the idea of Satan and his point of attack, being desire, throwing desires into the heart. And then the beauty followed by Allah canceling those desires and confirming his signs, Allah's signs, and that that those suggestions thrown by Satan becomes a trial for those in whose heart is a disease or hardened hearts. Following in 54, the idea of the Quran being bestowed and Allah's blessing upon those who are believers, and the beauty of the hearts being humbly open and Allah guiding them to the way that is straight. So it becomes important for us to know what a diseased heart is and to be sure that we don't possess one. I think last week we talked about heart disease. We may have. We'll see in just a moment. But, you know, you can walk around with a heart disease and not know it until you have an attack of some sort. Yes, we did. We did talk about heart disease last week. We had the extra time in the beginning of the show with Dr. Nuruddin. We can walk around with issues in our heart that then become a point of attack via Satan by casting the desires into the heart. So protecting our heart, keeping our heart purified through the rituals of the religion and proper following of the prescription, inshallah, will keep our hearts in a good state. Inshallah. Let's continue now, moving forward here on the Pearls of Women, AM 360 at 534. Just quickly reviewing hadith number 30. Well, let me do hadith number 6 first. That which is, this is reported by, on the authority of Abu Abdullah and Numan, the son of Bashir. that which is lawful is plain, and that which is unlawful is plain. Here we now are making reference to, or the prophet making reference to, what is haram and halal, as these help distinguish between activities and social circumstances that affect our hearts, either blemishing it or keeping it free from blemish. That which is lawful is plain, and that which is unlawful is plain, and between the two of them are doubtful matters about which not many people know. Thus, he who avoids the doubtful matters clears himself in regards to his religion and his honor. So when we're lingering in that which we are not sure about, we are in an area that affects our religion, our deen, and our honor. But he who falls into doubtful matters falls into that which is unlawful, like the shepherd who pastures around a sanctuary, all but grazing therein. So when we think that we are not going near something, or we're not doing something that's prohibited, but we go near it, then we are in an area that is unlawful. Truly, every king has a sanctuary, and truly a lost sanctuary is his prohibition. Truly, in the body there's a morsel of flesh, which if it be whole, the whole body is whole, and which if it is disease, all of it is disease. Truly, that is the heart. Very important. I mean, I'm walking with this. We need to be walking with this idea of our hearts in our chest. And I'm like giving you an electric jolt. Get out your head. Get out this thinking head. Because the thoughts are an effect of the heart cause. It's the heart. It's the heart. It's the heart. The brain is a tool. Hadith number 30. Well, let me do hadith number, 27. On the authority of Wabisa ibn Mabad. I came to the messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and he said, you have come to ask about righteousness. And I said, yes. And he said, consult your heart. That's shura. Take a shura with your heart. Now, question should emerge. Okay, how do I do it? How do I take shura with my heart? How do I know what the response is? And if we don't have the answer, or if the answer doesn't come up immediately, then that means we need to learn how to consult our heart. Continuing. Righteousness is that about which the soul feels tranquil and the heart feels tranquil, and wrongdoing is that which wavers in the soul and moves to and fro in the breast, even though people again and again have given you their legal opinion. So if your heart isn't settled by what others may say in regards to their legal opinion, then you need to step back. This is me speaking. And have a conversation with your heart. I mean, that's a beautiful thought, conversing with your heart. Here, the last hadith. Alaykum as-salam. Let me read this last hadith, please.
Okay.
The last hadith. On the authority of Abu Dhalab. Allah the Almighty has laid down religious duties, so do not neglect them. He has set boundaries, so do not overstep them. He has prohibited some things So do not violate them. About some things he was silent, out of compassion for you, not forgetfulness, so do not seek after them. And again, as I debriefed from last week, this hadith is clearly in support of the other two hadiths, hadith number 27 and hadith number 6, as it relates to boundaries that we should not overstep that which is prohibited, and relations to Allah's silence being out of compassion, not because he forgot anything. So those are the two hadiths, again, in debriefing, and we'll go to Brother Thomas for some of the callers who would like to chime in.
As-salamu alaykum. Sister Niamat, if you can go, only word that I heard is the archive, but if you go into the archive, usually a writer, but I didn't write that night. But Imam Qasim was dealing with the fact that the heart itself has a brain.
Yes. Okay. I concur.
Not.
I mean, that's where I'm going.
Okay, as-salamu
alaykum. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That's like, you know, that's the outcome. That's what I'm saying. Any more chimes, Brother Thomas?
No, anybody having a question or comment, good opportunity to take that. Press 1 on your phone. We can bring you right in. I see none. I'm going to turn it back over to you.
All right. I do none. All righty. Now, those hearts, Quranic types of hearts. I think I stepped to number 4. Yes, I did. Number 4, which is cold. The first one, then again in review, is a heart that that is a heart, mind, soul kind of definition that involves a hurt in the heart. Or to be affected with a heart disease, not a serious heart disease. When we look at some of the verses of the Quran, let me give them to you now, in fact, and see if we can save time that way. Surah 6, verse 110, Surah 17, verse 36, Surah 23, verse 78, and Surah 25, verse 32. And the Fa'ada is a heart that needs strengthening and it evolving, and it includes a possibility of doubt. And if you go to Surah 28, verse 10, there's an example with Musa's mother when she had a sense of worry about placing him in the basket and sending him down the river, if I can use that language. This is a little biblical, but you know what I'm talking about. And I can understand as a mother, too. You know, you look at, you know, as a parent, if you have a child and you're not sure, you know, you're following God, inspiration upon you and guidance, and, you know, but you're feeling, you know, a little afraid, a little fearful about what you're doing. That's the flavor that I was given as it relates to this particular circumstance, 28:10. But those other verses you can read in the Arabic, and inshallah, you can further your own thinking around that. Brother Thomas, is there another caller? Alaykum as-salam.
No, well, I'm the caller. I'm going to give you another word. Ambivalence is maybe more what one feels. It's not necessarily fear, but they have ambivalence about what they're doing that causes them, using your example. You know, when we do something with our children and we're sort of letting them go, well, they're going to go do this, you know, we may turn it as fear, but I guess I'm giving you another word, or maybe another thought, is ambivalence to what is happening.
Well, I actually have a couple of words, you know, kind of fearful, mm-hmm. avoid. The word has description that points towards being infected with a disease, a hurt in the heart. And so it's those kinds of, you know, when we look at the definition of the words independent, there's one particular idea, but then when we look in the verse itself, it gives another. But the idea around this is that her heart needed to be strengthened in its particular regard. But we thank you for that further.
We have another
definition.
We have a question. Area code 14. State your name, where you calling from. Area code 314, what's your comment?
It's fire department. You call for an emergency.
I think it's an accident. Sounds like an accident.
There's something going on there. Oh, go ahead.
All right, my
show. Go ahead in a minute.
All right. So then we have the other term, one of the other terms, lub. And verses 2, or Surah 2, verse 179, Surah 2, verse 269, Surah 3, verse 7. And the idea around this word and definition first is straight, pure definition, not in Quran, but dictionary, is a heart, a middle part, and a core. It's the pulp of a flesh, intelligence. It's the choice part of a pit, gifted with sound reason. That is Omar's definition. When we look at the particular verses that we share, the first one, 2:179, it points to an idea of a heart's ability to be discerning, a heart with understanding that's based in knowledge of parables, beliefs, and commandments. When we look at Surah 2, verse 269, this word, lub, is associated with one's ability to grasp information. When we look at Surah 3, verse 7, the verses in the Quran, this points to the verses in the Quran being basic and fundamental, and then verses that are symbolic in meaning, and that hearts that that has a propensity to deviate or move in a certain way with an inclination downward, they follow the parts that are not of established meaning. And Allah says that no one except those in possession of the lub can grasp such verses in the Quran. Those verses in the Quran that you can't just look out and say, oh, yeah, I understand that. It's different than when, oh, we should fast and we should make prayer and we shouldn't steal and we shouldn't lie. These are verses that require a different kind of perspective and viewing, and the only way to view it with the correct perspective is if you possess this lub. Lub is associated with science, revelation, something that is hidden, and something that is to be revealed. When we look at Surah 5, verse 100, this word in the verse points to one's ability to analyze, to be analytical, to have analytical ability, and to be able to distinguish between what is good and bad. Lub is not head-based. It's heart-based. It usually follows a description, an example, or a warning in a narrative. It is highlighted with the exception as lub, in that there are circumstances in the Quran where Allah says, if you only knew, or for those who consider, or those who ponder, that they are those particular kinds of they being the frames of thinking are associated with lub, that and also in association with the word Abara, that they are the ones who Abara, they ponder, they interpret, and they consider and take into an account. And as a consequence, there's love. Those who are thinkers, who receive understanding, and they listen to Allah's word. Very important description in definition and in the verses in the Quran. So that's the second word. Inshallah. Let's see. Let's go right to Qalb. Let's go to Qalb now. Surah 2, verse 7. Surah 2, verse 9. Surah 2, verse 74. Surah 2, verse 88. Surah 2, 93 through 97. Surah 2, verse 225. And Surah 6, verse 25. Yes, I think that's all. Now, when we talk about the straight definition by Omar, Qalb is heart. And it's interesting. This is very interesting. Listen, as it's described by definition, to turn, to return, to turn upside down, to turn inside out, to change conditions, to and fro. I thought about that. I've been thinking about this. And for me, this is for me, in our own studies, I'm speaking outside of myself and using the plural for you listening audience, that you have to, you know, in your own studies, come up with your feelings and thoughts as guidance by God. That's what I do. I read. I like to look at it to see what God is going to show me. And then when I come to some understanding about what God shows me, and then we reference other materials, and then we draw a preliminary conclusion about it. Otherwise, we won't be developing a perspective independent as a thinking person. So when I think about this, and I'll speak in the plural of the we, because we know Satan uses the I a lot, we, my heart, my intellect, my soul, my emotions, when we think about this word, or as we've been thinking about it, it makes sense that this Qalb, this I say, is the heart in the chest itself. As there are several other words that speaks to conditions, states of being, and positions of placement. But this word speaks to the heart in the chest itself. And it does these things all day long. It's turning and moving and responding and going to and fro depending on the outside environment. We won't be able to go into a lot this morning. I actually thought we were going to get a lot further. It's so much to share on this very important matter, this flesh in the chest. So throughout the day, monitor your heart in its movement, how it's turning and responding to everything in the environment. It's just fluttering like a bird's wing. And so if we're not mindful of what we have been exposed to via the sounds, the information on the television, the newspaper, and conversation, then our hearts are moving and pulsating in varying directions that may not be of a benefit to us. Thus, we end up desiring things that we shouldn't desire, which could become a test for us if Satan throws something into it, or we can have a blemish on our hearts. I hear the sound of an open mic in the background, and so that's Brother Thomas. Do we have a caller?
Yes, we do. Sister Martha, question or comment?
Yes, a comment too, and I guess I could put it in a form of a question, but Sister Nima, assalamu alaikum, first of all, calling from St. Petersburg, Florida, New Africa, USA.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, as you were speaking, I it hit me innate, the word innate. It's so innate, the bond between that flesh and the mind. The action is so, what do you call it? It is so, it's so associated, so connected. That's the point I want to make. It is so connected that's why, because when I'm in the grocery store and I'm buying something, and right away, if I get the pitter patter in my heart, I begin to put it back because I realize I may be overspending. you know what I mean? So that's truly when I feel it. Or if I'm away and I miss a call or something like that, and I get this pitter patter, I check my phone, and sure enough, someone who I've been waiting to call, hear from, they've already called, and I'm going, okay. So alhamdulillah. So it hits right to the mind immediately. So it's so innate how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already created it to be connected in that manner. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you so much.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes. Yes. Also, you know. I have Michael question or comment.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum. I'm going to call you immediately off air, Sister Nimet, about a matter. But I wanted to comment about the Ramadan fasting.
Yes.
Because of what food and drink do to us, and you know, we're satiated.
Mm-hmm.
When we're fasting, we have an opportunity to really analyze the content of our thinking and our heart.
Yes.
We're so much more sensitive because we don't have the food and the effects of the food and the chemicals in the food on our thinking and our biology. And as you were speaking about the conditions of the heart, I thought about the medicine, not only in the guidance of God, but also in the attributes of Allah. I've been focusing on one in particular, Al-Qudus, the purifier, the term the holy, but you know, the one who purifies, and those attributes can be so beneficial, particularly when we're in a state like we are in during Ramadan, and I just want to share that.
Yes, that's so important, and it affects the rhythm of the heart, the reciting of the Quran, the attributes, sounds affect the rhythm, literally the beating of the heart. You know, when the bass comes through, someone drives by, we feel our hearts shifting as we're entertaining music in our own home. You know, we feel our hearts shifting. And so it's so important. You know, one of the things, that before I forget and go back to what Sister Martha was sharing about, you know, this feeling, you know, the visual image came to my mind. On YouTube, it's called Heart Math. And there's some really short clips that are really beautiful because now scientists are studying this. They're saying now, and that goes back to what Imam Wafdi Muhammad was saying in 2003, that just as documented, and maybe goes further back, but scientists are now just saying, well, maybe the heart just isn't a pump in the chest moving blood. They're saying now it's actually where knowledge is, and they're showing illustrations of how the synergy moves from the heart to connect to the mind, and how hearts, you know, when you're with your friends and your family, are literally connected to each other, that there's an energy, a force field, that the magnetic field that the heart creates is greater than the one that the mind creates. It uses a different type of language in this regard, and that the heart, they're saying, their evidence on their machines are telling them that the heart is the source of the power and creates a field, a magnetic field around the human being, and that when the heart beats, it goes around the planet seven times in a couple of seconds and vibrates into space. The heartbeat itself. This is powerful. This is powerful. So let's get out of our heads. We use our intellect as the tool that it is for, and thinking and considering and pondering. But know that that heart, the state of the heart, is going to determine the state of your whole being and the quality of your thoughts. I'm down, dear listening audience, to 6 o'clock straight up. Inshallah, I thought I would finish. I probably have about 7, 8 more pages to go over for next week. I guess this whole Ramadan, we'll be talking about the heart for the month of Ramadan. Inshallah, afterwards, I have some sisters scheduled to come on. We're having sister circles in Oakland. They've been so powerful, women gathering on Friday. The circles are so large, it's unbelievable. So we want to have some of those sisters on and talk about purity, remembering Allah, Al-Islam in women, modesty, and keeping our sisters. I'm going to make way for Brother Thomas, and there's another caller. Otherwise, I'll step back and we'll go on with the next hour of the show.
Why don't you just step forward? Don't step backwards, okay? So we'll see you next week in, here on America from 360.
Alhamdulillah, shukran.
Assalamu alaikum wa Ramadan mubarak. Well, inshallah, everybody. This is Abdul Salam, the twin servant of peace. And inshallah, Dr. Nurdeen will not be with us this morning. We're going to continue our conversation on reinventing or elevating oneself. And borrow, I guess, a little bit from the map, but not all, right? In other words, we've been talking about the spirit. And, you know, that's the heart. I mean, but the spirit in you is the thing that we're trying to reconnect with. So we're trying to reconnect, again, in the language there, with our hearts. And what is the true you? Or what is true north for you? We have to get a compass right, or maybe recalibrate our compass during the month of Ramadan. We talked about spirit versus spirituality. And our goal this month is to keep it on the spirit side of the conversation and not the spirituality. In other words, the spirit is the energy and maybe even the intelligence of your being, the center of you, and it in itself, the spirit, has a movement, a path, a journey that it wants to take. That path is not necessarily spirituality, even though spirituality has its impact. It has its place. Worship, charity, belief in God, all of those things are important to the spirit. But the spirit also wants to move in the world, the dunya. Not being a bad thing. Deen and dunya are pairs of each other. They're not opposite. They're not opposed to each other. And if we begin to embrace deen and dunya as, let's say, husband and wife, and that these two things work together to create you or help you express you, then spirituality can be balanced. And now we can then say to ourselves, what am I going to do? Allah is always present. But as Allah, in this morning's reading, Allah says, you know, he's already given you the signs. Allah has already laid out the heavens and the earth. Already subject them to you. So a question or my question or our question is never what Allah going to do. It's always what am I going to do with what Allah has given me. Allah has already given. The mercy of Allah precedes things, precedes the need, it precedes the want. So by the time I tell myself I want something, Allah has already provided me with the ingredients, the resources, maybe the intelligence to get a thing. But it's on me. It's not on Allah to give it to me. If using the, say, logic of Sister Nia, our hearts is ahead of our brain, and definitely in certain areas. So when I have a desire in my heart, when I have maybe an intuition in my heart, in my soul, the journey to that thing is already in the universe. It's already in the dunya. I don't have to then say to Allah, oh Allah, give me the way, give me the direction. Give me, now it's my job now to find it. We pray to Allah from our, let's say spirituality, but I guess what I want to say is we recognize our weaknesses. So we depend on Allah. We lean on Allah. But I know this may sound strange, but don't take this as, but you don't want to become overly dependent that you don't do what you need to do. Sometimes we become so over-dependent that all we're doing is saying, Allah, can you get it for me? Or Allah, why did I didn't get that? Why did you not permit me with that? Or Allah, why did you bring it to me? Or whatever. Sometimes there's an over-dependency and not enough dependency upon the human spirit to rise to an occasion to meet a challenge, to overcome its weakness, its doubts. It's, again, using my word, ambivalence. The human spirit needs to be given space and room to rise to the level of its potentiality. So, yes, I depend on Allah, but as they say, I tie my camel. I just don't see camel stay here. Allah is going to take care of that. And I walk off. And I come back and I wonder where my camel is. What happened? Did Allah not want that for me? Did Allah not want the camel for me? No. Didn't do your part. You didn't rise to the occasion. You didn't use your intelligence to tie the camel. It's not us. Let me move a little bit further into our conversation today. We have a tendency of neglect. We have a tendency for neglect. We neglect to tie the camel. We neglect go to work. We neglect to go study and get the skills that we want. We have a, and maybe I would say a deed in our heart sometimes, of neglect. We need to take more responsibility for the passions which we have, an intellectual ability to pursue and not give in to our weaknesses. A lot of times we help, we cause a certain, well, let me just say that with that. We help other people become or live within weaknesses. Because we praise people for little things that don't really have a lot of meaning to them. So people neglect to live up to their spirit. Well, people just praised me. People just said I was great. Well, yeah, but they're praising your mediocrity. But we don't understand it as mediocrity. We think it's something great. We think we've just done something that is magnificent. This is why I think it was Friday. Said to you, people say, people write me or email me, and they say about their community shorter. This is a stroke of genius. See, don't praise me for my mediocrity. It's trying to praise me for my mediocrity. And you want me to think that somehow I had a stroke of genius. No, I did not have a stroke of genius. It's in the Quran. It's simple. It's there. That's mediocrity. You're praising me for something that I don't, you know, it's a, I know there's a verse in the Quran. There's something in about people who like to be praised for things they didn't do. That's part of our disease sometimes. So you have to be protective. Don't let people praise you for things you know you really didn't do. It's not really that true. Okay. If anything, let's say I was bold enough to suggest the thing. But it's not a stroke of genius. I didn't find it. I didn't discover this. It's in the Quran. This is how you do business. No genius. Allah deserves the credit for that. I don't want to take credit for something I didn't do. So again, don't let people praise you for mediocrity. But you have to be able to recognize your mediocrity. We all have a sense of grandeur that is not really grander. We like praise. We like when people praise us. But again, we have a disease of neglect. So don't allow people to convince you that your weaknesses is your strength. That somehow your weakness is the best part of you. Do not live in restricted areas, even of your own mind and heart. Challenge your weaknesses. Challenge yourself. Ask yourself, can I not do better? Can I not be doing something more appropriate? This gives rise to the spirit. This makes the spirit challenge. In other words, when you take a problem, you say to yourself, I want to solve the problem. I honestly want to get committed to solving the problem. Now the heart, the spirit has something to work on. And it, before you know it, it's making suggestions to you about solutions. Sometimes within seconds, you will find it giving you suggestions. So this is, we want to release our spirit so that it can do its job in the areas where we need it to work. We don't want, inshallah, to get committed to things us where we really want to go. And a lot of times we do because we don't have a clear objective in front of us. We don't have a goal in front of us. So what we want to do during this Ramadan, inshallah, during your fasting, during your struggle, begin to think of creating a new you, a new spirit. All of your past accomplishments, they've already, let's say, been rewarded. They've been recorded. Now what I need is new accomplishments. I need now accomplish something that I did not do in the past. Releasing the spirit, inshallah, to rise to the occasion of its possibilities and maybe its infinite possibilities. We as a people, we as a community, there is much to be done. There is much to be accomplished. Things that we have yet to accomplish. Or in some cases, reaccomplish. Our school system is in basically total disrepair. It's almost non-existent. What are we going to do about the school system? They call it the Sister Claire Muhammad school system. What are we going to do to repair that, rebuild that? That's our challenge. Let the spirit go after it. We are still lacking in business achievement. What are we going to do? We still have youth, things that we want to do for our youth. We have, say, marital. Our divorce rate is up higher than we desire it to be. What are we going to do? This is a personal growth and achievement becomes a standard bearer or a part of the culture of the community. We are not going to talk about a problem. We're going to solve a problem. We don't get in circles to badmouth an issue. Badmouth those of us who are in charge. When we get together, we start talking about, well, let's define the problem. Let us all come to an understanding of what it is. But now let's seek solutions. Let's be positive about this situation as we can. And then bring forth out of you avenues, resources, skills, intellectual direction that says, we can solve this problem. It's not insurmountable, but we have to have a new spirit. So personal growth and achievement must be part of our, say, Ramadan fast. What are we going to do different in the past? We can create intellectual justification for our need to solve problems. It's difficult for us to intellectually justify why and what we need to do. But we need to become the expert. We need to own our spirit and not diminish that spirit. Do not sell it to mediocrity. Tell your spirit, it is time to rise. It is time to accomplish. This is performance. We're living in an age of performance. not talk, not anything else. We want to be able to perform, outperform our past accomplishments. Because a lot of times we end up doing the same thing 2 and 3 times. We end up duplicating our past performance. That within itself helps mediocrity set in. Or do you see so-and-so? Yeah, man, they did that too, man. Oh, yeah, they're doing it too. Well, yes, and let's say it's a need. It needs to happen. But is it moving us forward? Have we not already made great strides on that level? Is it not time for us to break through to chart a path to a new level, a new challenge, something new to point at, something new to justify our spirit? Okay? Now, one of the ways that we can approach it, because we look around and we say to ourselves, and we say this a lot about, let's say, the new immigrants. Well, see, they come here and they must be getting some help. They do this and they do that, and all of a sudden, they're here. We look at other people and we use them to justify our weakness. They must be doing something. Somebody must be giving them help. So therefore, it justifies why I can't do it. Nobody's helping me. Or the only for the proves, and forgive us, the Trayvon Martin situation. Some of us, this situation only for the proves or highlights our weakness, our status in society, that, see there, we can't even get justice. We can't get here. I say to you, use it as a challenge that I will change, and we will change the image of the African American, the African American team. We will become so successful in America that no one will ever, ever clench their purse, lock a door, hire us, whatever. See, we have to see a thing not always from as negative, because that only justifies my mediocrity. It only justifies why I'm not working as hard as I know I can and should be. So let us look at the world, look at our situation from, again, a universal point of view. Allah says, I have subject the moon and the sun. I have subject the rivers. I have subject things to you. He didn't say I subject to the white man or the Asian guy. He said humanity. So if the universe is arranged in a certain way, divine way, then I have to interact with this universe at that level. Sometimes you make it, sometimes you don't. There are certain natural laws within the universe. But Allah tells us, yet it is subject to you. Never ever is the universe outside of your reach. But we treat it as if it's outside of our reach. Even sometimes our spirituality justifies why we don't pursue a thing. Well, you know, whatever our will is, you know, that's how we see the universe. But we didn't do anything to get the universe to respond to me. We just said, well, if Allah's will, he'll bring it to me. You know, if Allah's will, you know, I'm just, we're going to get ours in heaven. No. We have to take a look at our core beliefs, our core understanding of the Quran, of Allah, of Prophet Muhammad, of the human being, the human soul, and examine our core beliefs and ask us, do we have a belief that places me at the victim level? Or do I have a belief that places me at the hero level? Sometimes it is our own beliefs, and really for the most part, it is our own beliefs that hold us back. We're not willing to take risks. Other people had to take risks to create a business, to buy up all the land in an area and create a community of their own. There's certain risks involved. There's certain things in my core beliefs I must believe honestly and sincerely that I can do it too. Matter of fact, I can do it first. I don't have to wait for somebody else. I don't have to see somebody else's example. I can go out and do this first. Now that is a new level of performance. Okay. I'm not waiting on you or them. I'm not waiting on the government. I'm not waiting on the imam. I will take matters into my own hands to do good. I don't have to wait for somebody to give me permission to do good, to come up with good programs, good products, create good things. I don't have to wait on anybody. But you have to take a risk. Because when you're new at a thing, you're the first one, you're going to take some hits on that thing. You may even have a failure in that thing. People are going to be pointing fingers at you. I mean, look at the prophet. Read the Quran. Look at what Allah says about the people when they see the prophets. You must be an imbecile. You got to be a liar. We're going to kill you. We're going to run you out of here. This is the risk of being first. This is the risk of being at the head of a new revolution, a new idea. But you have to be prepared to take that risk that you may be stoned. You may be whipped. You may go broke. People are going to talk about you. They're going to ridicule you. They're going to leave you. People who you thought was your friends are going to walk away from you. But that's the risk of a spirit in pursuit of its own understanding. Or, I trust my Lord, but walk. I'm going to dare to walk where other people have yet to walk. But you have to create that story. You have to create that story. It doesn't get written by your inaction. It gets written by your actions. The universe, even Allah says, the universe, or the natural order of things, is when you do good, good comes back to you. That may not be immediate, but know that good is coming back. This is part of the trust that I have in Allah. I'm going to do good despite your thinking or your ridicule of me, because I believe in the natural order of things as Allah has described it. I believe that when I do a thing, good or bad, that it is written down in what we may call our record, the book of life, people call it. But I believe that. So I act acceptable in that, my inaction. And what I don't want to be written down is say that I fail to act. I fail to perform. I fail to achieve. I fail to take a risk in the name of Allah. I don't want that written. So I have to create this story that will not only help me, but it helps others. Nelson Mandela said something to the nature, I'm not reading it directly, something to the nature that your presence, in other words, people who act, people who perform, people who are out there achieving, people who speak up for the injustices, he's saying your presence liberates other people. Now, in some cases, they're only liberated for a short period of time. But at least they felt, know what it feels like to be liberated. And that's what we have to do. We have to liberate people to believe. Give permission to believe and, inshallah, to believe in. We cannot convince people that Islam is all that, and we have done nothing with it. We have yet to accomplish anything with it, let alone stain for accomplishments. You can't, it's hard to convince others that this is the way, and let alone the way of Allah, God. So, we have to take a look at a Russian spiritual leader, and I can probably pronounce his name correctly. He says, perhaps tomorrow, perhaps in 100 years, but you will be helped. Nature must pay off the debt. It is a mathematical law, and life is mathematical. What we do today matters to the future. The future is written by our actions. We can either sort of speed up the progress of a thing, or we can slow the thing down by our action or inaction. But as he says here, perhaps you'll get your reward tomorrow. Perhaps it may not come for 100 years, but know that you will be helped. And I refer you again to the movie Cloud Atlas. Cloud Atlas. You need to look at that movie, study the movie, analyze it. And again, I'm telling you, it's going to take two or three times for you to watch the movie to really, for it to begin to sink in and get it. Not because it takes you a long time, because of the way the movie is structured. The movie is just structured in a way that it takes a moment to get it. All right? But what you see in the movie, and I think we can, we have an example, but let me tell you quickly. I'm not going to tell you about the movie per se, but what I'm saying is you can see the chain of events unfolds, creates the, say, the ending of the movie. But it's a chain of events. It's a chain of actions. It's a chain of circumstances, situations, some unplanned by the person. But they found themselves in a situation and they had to act. They had to respond. They had to check with their spirit to see which way to go. But we have, I think, a much more present-day situation that we all can relate to, if not the majority of us. And that's our own, let's say, rise from slavery. But I want to just explain it to this Islamic movement through and into the African-American community. First of all, we say there was no Drew Ali. There he was. And we don't know. This is sort of in Kyle Atlas. See, I don't know the spirit that was deposited into Drew Ali. But he was responding from a spirit that was totally all his own making. But it came through, and we've heard Warth Deen Muhammad talk about this before. This spirit has been traveling throughout time. He even talked about his own spirit. He said one time, he said, I've been teaching for 400 years, referring to this spirit that arrived on the shores of America as a slave. And that spirit refused to be sued. Doesn't matter how many times they got whipped, how many times they shot somebody, killed somebody, hung somebody. That spirit moved, continuously to move through the people. So this is the same spirit I'm talking about right now. Noble Drew Ali got that spirit. Marcus Garvey got that spirit. A lot of people got that spirit. But then there was a spirit that got deposited in Elijah Muhammad. Maybe a very his life and his actions at the time. But all he needed was that circumstance of meeting Master Farad Muhammad. Now, as all I can tell, in all the reading I've done on, let's say, the life of Elijah Muhammad, there was not, I cannot see what Farad saw in him that said, this is the leader. This is who I'm going to work with. He was not a man who was challenging the status quo. He wasn't a man who was, you know, he wasn't even preaching. He wasn't even, you know, living a necessarily good life. I mean, but there he was. But for whatever reason, Master Farad Muhammad saw in him. Elijah Muhammad probably didn't see it. But he had to eventually allow that spirit to meet the challenge which Master Farad Muhammad put on him, on the whole community. You're going to rise to the challenge of the leader. You're going to have to become the prophet for these people. Now, Farad didn't guide him every step of the way. He didn't tell him to do this and do that. He just opened up the door for his spirit to rise and his spirit to meet the challenge of the circumstances, the present day situation. Not just with Farad, the whole African-American experience. He just opened the door, encouraged that spirit. That spirit began to rise over time. When he came up, Master Farad didn't create the fruit of Islam. Master Farad didn't create nation of the University of Islam schools. He didn't create the businesses. He didn't, you know, he didn't say this, do that, whatever. Elijah Muhammad's spirit began to respond to the challenge that was in front of him. And then me and you came along. When we saw Elijah Muhammad, we saw the messenger. He wasn't always messenger. He didn't even always look like a messenger. He didn't always sound like a messenger. But when you and I met him, there's no doubt in our mind that he was messenger. But he created it. He created it. I know there's something, well, you know, Allah, I'm not discounting Allah in any of this. We're talking about the spirit side of this thing and not the spirituality side. The spirit side of this thing created Elijah Muhammad. But it also created Warth Deen Muhammad. It is the thing that created you and I. But we now have to rise to a new occasion. We must reinvent, we must elevate ourselves. We must climb. We must reach for with intelligence. I heard Imam Yahya Abdullah was talking on Shura, I'm not so sure, but she, Shiri. But he was saying, and I don't remember the Arabic words or whatever, but he was saying that it means using intellectual judgment for the guidance of the people or something of this nature. So the point to you is this. You, just as the word of the demon has called for us to, we must create intelligentsia. We must begin to create a new norm of thinking and performing among ourselves that can guide us, intellectual guidance, not a haphazard guidance. We must be conscious in effort. We must approach a certain amount of awakeness. I'm woke. I understand. I come here with a certain amount of presence, not only mentally, but spiritually. Come here with a certain amount of presence. And I understand my challenge. Now this, I say, is where we find ourselves. We're not and shouldn't be emotionalist, but we don't want to use emotion as a total guiding force. Spirit involves, Imam Worf Demon said some time ago, he called it the community of self. The community of self. The spirit of us employs the community of self for the benefit of self. The spirit, and we use the term heart, is the internal us. And it itself is the thing in which we are trying to submit our rational self to, our emotional self to, our physical self to. It is, if I may use this term, we talked about enthusiasm, meaning the God within. So our hearts, our spirit is the God within. That God within us, spirit, demands, seeks obedience from the community of self so that it can do its work. It's not arrogant like Satan. It doesn't demand to be the leader. It's submissive. Is humble. It's waiting on you to call upon it, and then it will answer the call. But I and you must open the door for spirit. Inshallah, this is like a man with a demon that said, the spirit is the internal you, is the real you. It is the real you. So no matter how much emotion or intelligence I show, no matter how proud I am, how much I can lift 100 pounds, 500 pounds, no matter what I do and I look in the mirror, no matter what I see, is not the real me. I am an instrument. These things are an instrument, a resource for the spirit. And I need to give my soul, my body, I guess, over to my soul, my spirit. So during the month of Ramadan, we go without food to train the body to submit to the spirit. Again, we're talking about spirituality. We're talking about spirit. If the real me, you know, they used to have a show back in the 60s, I think it was, is you know, sort of Guess My Line, or maybe it's in the title to the song, to the movie, to the series. But you have three people or so, in some cases I think they were hidden behind a curtain or something, who would be asking, answering questions from the panel, and then the panel had to pick out which was real, Thomas Abdul-Salam. Which one of these three people is really Thomas Abdul-Salam? That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to figure out what is my real self. Which one of these people, these things, these entities, these conversations I have in my head, these feelings I have, the intuition I have, which one of them really speaks from my soul? We have to sort through the soul, find the soul. It's not a given, or as Allah says, your soul will even make certain dark suggestions. It itself need discipline, which Allah tells us, discipline yourself this month. It needs discipline. It needs guidance itself. So this month, my goal is to submit my spirit, my true spirit, to the, what we say, the will of Allah. Again, don't take will to mean that somehow Allah is going to tell me what to do. Guidance is all around you, but it still doesn't answer call. We're not without guidance. We're without direction. We know where to pray five times a day. We know where to be good. We know where to do this. We know we have suggestions, things to do. It's not that we don't know. We have yet to figure out a direction, a focus in all of this, so that we can chart a course, again, our true north. What is the name of Muhammad has also said to us that he uses some of the, what do you call it, the mythical stories. So these people have created stories for themselves that sort of give them, let's say, meaning. I'm not sure those are his words. I'm just very positive they're not. They're my words, but I think you know what I'm talking about, inshallah. But they've created these mythical stories. Maybe some of them have truth in them. They've created these stories which not only do they, but their great-grandchildren, children of 1,000 years after that, still look to Thor and the Greek gods or whatever to have themselves, to place in them certain spirit, certain awareness, certain consciousness. Now, I'm not asking us to create some mythical story. But what did Muhammad ask us or tell us? That we have to create a story that is our own. We have to create a story that confirms us as a people. And let's say, even as a Muslim. But we are going to create this story. And again, not using mythical terms, we're not going to create this story by wishful thinking. The story will be created by action, by doing, performing, achieving. When we can create this story, enough of us is, let's say, upward bound, then our children, their children, will buy into that story. And the more of them who buy into the story, the better off they become. They begin to pursue success. This is why what we need to do is create a true story. There is no permanent you in the sense of today, whoever you happen to be, wherever I happen to be today. This is all that I can be. Even at my age, I say to myself, Tom, it's time for change. I refuse to be the same person today, tomorrow, that I am today. I have no desire to be this person only for the duration that it takes for me to get what I want. And then it's time to create a new me. You cannot rest, as they say, on your laurels. This keeps the spirit new, keeps the spirit young, keeps the spirit exciting, always searching for a new. Inshallah. Inshallah. It is our, and I say goal, is to inspire you, to motivate you, to not only ask the question, but answer the question. What else can I do, and who else can I be? Brother, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. Brother Thomas, what about, would you be able to, I mean, what's something would you think about, huh? Why not produce a movie about 360 from its insurgent, and then this way our children can continue to add on to it, volume one, volume two, volume three, because why? Because it keep on going and never stop.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I never thought about that. But that's creating a new me. That's creating a new spirit for me to pursue that thought. Okay?
I mean, because it's excellent. Another thing. You have a brother named Rasul. He was on a line. This is something I had thought about in my head. I don't know where I put it out there and mentioned, though. But Rasul, he was on 360 yesterday. This brother actually had children, right? And they had written a book, right? And the book is in, is homemade, you know, it's a homemade binding and stuff like that. Because on my mind about infusion, a book club, I really like to get that book club going because everybody would benefit. Everybody who got a book out there would benefit from it, and they can put together an obligation amongst each other to purchase a certain book at once every month and then infuse into the class from the children. I got a book that put a spin on it. But here's somebody, the brother Rasul, yesterday he not really had already done it. You know what I mean? To that point. Now, if you can form as a book club throughout the nation, it'd be excellent.
Yeah, it would be. And I say it's simple to do. In other words, first of all, you just consider that you have over 200, 300 masjids in our association.
Oh, okay.
So
all right.
If you publish a book.
Right.
Every masjid in the country should be committed to buying one box.
Okay, I got you then.
20
okay.
books. Now, you do 20 times 300, you just sold some serious books.
I got you.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you very much for your comments. So.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, get that going. You know, whenever you get it going, Allahu Akbar.
Well, alhamdulillah, maybe we have to it together. I never thought about such a thing.
Okay,
inshallah. Thank you for the thought.
All right. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Sister Martha, assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak.
Alaikum assalam. Ramadan Mubarak to you, too. Alhamdulillah, Brother Bilal was hitting it with the books, and I've been hitting and putting together a format for us to economically build the masajis throughout the country. If we go state by state, contributing, everyone contributing to the building, $1 will definitely do it if we see that we're doing it and it's not a hardship. Okay. If I know that in the state of Florida, that the first of all, I'm assessing each city and seeing, you know, where there are communities developing, you know, with the Islamic community developing.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the state of Florida, if I know that there are masajis being constructed, then all
mm-hmm.
of our attention should be towards those masajis and giving continuously, making it a continuous donation. And that,
mm-hmm.
alhamdulillah, if we're doing it state by state, then we're not making it a national thing and wherein we get so bogged down with rules and regulations of, you know, trying to be one unit and then get blown out of commission, you know what I mean? But alhamdulillah,
mm-hmm.
that's what I'm working on, inshallah, to make Florida an example. And I'm sure somebody probably
mm-hmm.
is already doing thinking, but alhamdulillah, I'm putting Florida out there in that respect of the new
mm-hmm.
Africa. That's why I keep connecting New Africa to it, because of the idea, not so much Africa dealing with Africa, the country, though it has its relationship, but the New Africa concept, alhamdulillah.
Right. I was going to say, there's a brother, he sent me a document, I'm not going to say here, because he didn't give me permission to talk about it on air or nothing like that. But a brother who has it, I'm actually more than one brother, has sort of an economic development plan for the community as a whole, as a nationwide. I think that they're these souls that I've read, they're good. I think they have good intention. I pointed out to both of them some of the things they're going to say, you know. But we are still yet to have a respectable organization. There still needs to be a respectable organization that is respected, at least some majority of people, in which can administer funds, whether it's a state, whether it's a state thing, or a national thing, it really doesn't matter. Okay? We'll make these comments, and we'll go to the phone calls, and everybody on the line will be quick, because I'm going to have to boogie out of here. But let me say this. As much as we may dislike what was happening and some of the things that were happening in the Nation of Islam, it was an effective system. What we never did was perfect the system, get good people in charge of the system, so that money's accountable, there was no more stealing, there was no more abuse of people, own abuse of masjids and centers. Okay? Anyway, we need a little time, so let me see if I can get, forgive me, I can't, I'm with this associate with it. 646, you're on the state, American Muslim 360 station, where are you calling from?
Thank you, Brother Thomas. Brother Muhammad from Trenton. And I was out of the country. I'm just getting back. I guess static because I'm at the airport now. But I needed to know
mm-hmm.
the date again because it wasn't in any of the Muslim journals, and I don't know if you're advertising yet for the conference now in Fayetteville, I need the date, though.
Of the show. It is August 16th through the 18th.
Okay. I'm good. Thank you.
And alhamdulillah, I think we saw two. I think there was a mishap on my own end, and we're going to have to get back to Muslim Journal and get that cleared up. There was a mishap
okay.
on our end. All right. Thank you very much. Alhamdulillah.
Okay. You're welcome. All right. So
and now, Brother Mark. Brother Mark? Brother Mark, your question or comment? Okay, I don't hear anything. If you're talking, I do not hear you. I'm going to close your microphone. Unfortunately, we're going to have to get ready to roll on up out of here. But let me say that those things, just like what Mr. Martha was talking about, just like what Brother Bly was talking about, this is what Shura should be. How do you create the systems that help us achieve? It's not about one person. It's not about this person. It's about the community. We have great ideas in this community. We're going to have to find a way to make the system work for us. And this is one of the problems I see we failed to do with the Nation of Islam. We did not. We had a system, but it was an abusive system, and maybe in some cases a corrupt system. But it got things done. It brought fish in. It brought sardines in. It created businesses in many, many, many different cities. But we never correct the system. We never made the system work for us. That means you got to get accountants involved. You got to get lawyers involved. You got to get bank people involved. You have to get the professionals at the end of the thing that's going to make this system accountable. Anyway, with the thing said and done, this is Thomas Abdus. I'm the twin servant of peace. On behalf of the CEO, Dr. Aisha Kareem, we want to wish you a Ramadan Mubarak. And inshallah, I'll be back with you on Wednesday. I'm back. Inshallah, we'll reach my regular schedule here on the radio. We'll be back on Wednesday. And then, inshallah, we'll be back on Friday. So anyway, stay tuned. Have a blessed day. Inshallah, we'll have to get back with you as soon as we can. You already know what the program today on the radio is. Inshallah, we'll be with you materially. All right, I'm going to try to give you something quick, if I can just find something here. This is Streetwise jazz thing. Not going to cry no more. Mary J. Blige.